Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Craig Rucker from Climatology, well, about climatology. Then Quentin Roberts will review the Army-Navy game. Marines Gill and Skip will discuss the border and books. And, of course, we'll conclude with military history and the self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce Craig Rucker. He's the president of CFAC, the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. It's a D.C.-based organization that fights for free market solutions in today's environment and energy issues. Sort of important things, I think, like vitally important. So, Craig, welcome. You're an Army vet, aren't you?
Well, yes, mostly National Guard, but I did probably about 2 years of active duty training on various forts around the country. This goes back to the dinosaur ages when the Cold War was on. So early 80s, spent time in Fort Benning, Fort Knox, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Went in as a combat engineer initially as a grunt and then proceeded to go and become an officer. I didn't want to work for a living anymore, so moved up to the boss. And then did a little bit on the side with airborne paratrooping and tanks. I ended up in armor at the end of my tenure, you know. So, yes, I got my veterans card, but the bulk of my time was spent in the National Guard.
Well, hey, they serve. And my last assignment was as Army advisor to the Michigan National Guard. So we understand it. Craig, climate change is a big issue today for a lot of people. And didn't they just complete a UN climate change conference in Dubai?
Yes, that's right, Dennis. In fact, I'm just back from that and a little jet lagged. But it's still going on. I didn't quite stay to the end, but this is an annual summit that's been going on since the 1990s, where those who are the global warming faithful, those who are what we would say is alarmist about climate change, gather every single year and try to put together programs and what they call a global stocktake, try and have nations take action to address what they say is an impending catastrophe for mankind. Of course, in our opinion, I've gone to 25 of the 28 meetings that stretch back to the 1990s, and I can tell you that they get more alarmist through the years, and virtually everything that they've prognosticated or opined might happen in the future have not come to pass. And there's a lot of money at stake and a lot of things that deal with personal liberty that are at stake at these conferences. So we're trying to fight back and make sure they don't go too extreme.
That's a heck of a fight, isn't it? I mean, this is something that people don't really care about the facts. I hear about, well, this is proven science. There is no such thing as proven science. This is not science, though there's some science involved. Am I reading this right?
Dennis, you're spot on. As a matter of fact, I think as time goes on, we're seeing, you know, just objectively that what they've said would come to pass has not come to pass. They have these things called global climate models that projected the temperatures would be way higher than they are today. And in fact, over the last 8 years, they've kind of flatlined, even declined a little bit in temperature. We're not seeing the severe weather events, things like hurricanes, tornadoes, though they're hyped a lot, like earlier this year with Hurricane Idalia and Hillary. When you look on a time scale that stretches back over 100 years of which we have records, you're not seeing any of these major temperature trends, wildfires going out of control, hurricanes increasing in activity. In almost every metric that's used, the climate today is pretty much what it's been, and there's been worse times in the past in almost every instance for many of these natural disasters.
Yes, sir. I'm 82, and well, I guess I wasn't paying a lot of attention the first few years I was alive. The weather changes constantly, but it's pretty much stays in the same category, the same range that it always has. It just isn't any different. I do remember in the 1980s, the big deal in all the magazines was the coming ice age.
Mm-hmm. You're right. As a matter of fact, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I took that coming ice age rather seriously. We had a big blizzard back in 1977. Time magazine back then said scientists are united. It was the consensus back then that you know, we were past due for another glacial period in Earth's history. And if anybody had stepped out of bounds and said, well, that's nonsense, they would have been a pariah and looked at as a nutcase. Well, within 5-10 years, starting in the late 80s, they just switched their tune. Many of these scientists, people like Stephen Schneider, who was a big advocate for global cooling and an impending ice age just turned on a dime and said we're all going to burn to death. But they're objectively not true. I'll give you a case in point. You know, you have Al Gore made a famous movie in 2006 called An Inconvenient Truth. He won an Academy Award for this. And he stated at that time, because Hurricane Katrina just hit, that the U.S. would be hit every single year because of climate change with Category 5 plus hurricanes. Well, after that prediction, for the next 10 years, we had the longest pause in hurricane activity stretching back to the 1800s. We have people like now King Charles, but then Prince Charles saying the world only had, what, 50 months left before the end back in the early 2000s. Never happened. As recent as 2019, he said the world has only 18 months left. That date has come and gone. Greta Thunberg famously on Twitter in 2018 said the world has only 5 years left and then that's it. And, you know, that tweet was taken down because 5 years have come and gone and the temperatures haven't really changed, nor has, and life has gone on and people continue to prosper.
That's true. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking climatology with Craig Rucker. Craig, we've got a couple of minutes left. Talk to us about CFACT. What is it? What do you do and how can people plug in?
Yes, we've been around since 1985. We work on issues of energy and environment, and we have a board of academic and scientific advisors that guide our policies. We work to educate the public, produce studies, a newsletter. We have thousands of citizen members that we inform and give climate fact checks every single month. We have a student program, and really, we would just encourage people to come to our website at cfact.org. That's cfact.org. And sign up for our newsletter and our briefings, and we will keep you up to snuff. So whenever these activities happen, like, as I mentioned before, a Hurricane Idalia or an earthquake takes place and somebody's saying the end is near, there's an apocalypse, we'll get you the right answers that you can talk to your friends, families, and neighbors to set the record straight.
I'll bet you're also a nonprofit and wouldn't be opposed to donations, am I right?
Oh, no, absolutely. That's how we survive. We survive almost exclusively off the private donations of individuals. So if somebody wants to contribute, again, they can go to our website at cfact.org, cfact.org.
Thank you, Craig. We got a minute. Sum up the key points you'd like everybody to take from our talk today.
Well, I think that they should be calm, that the world is not coming to an end. They're hearing a lot of gloom and doom. And that the that you go to these UN conferences, they're always saying we have to act now. I would just urge caution. We don't need to move into electric vehicles. We don't need to abandon red meat and start eating insects like they're talking about. We don't need to have the government control our thermostats with smart meters and things of these sort. Try and protect your liberties from those who would use fear and panic under climate change to try to take them away from you.
Well said, sir. Your comments reminded me of a number of years ago, I was talking to someone, I think in the Coast Guard, senior people. Yes, the northern ice cap is shrinking, but guess what? The southern one is growing. They never talk about that, do they?
No. And in fact, back in the 90s, it was the opposite. They kept talking about the polar ice cap shrinking, and they wouldn't talk about the North Pole growing. That's been common, that when one shrinks, the other grows. It's part of the wobbling of the earth, and it's been something that's occurred throughout time. But it's on that and many other things you'll hear that, you know, polar bears are going extinct from climate change. They're at record numbers. You know, 5,000 back in the 1960s are about almost 30,000 of them today. And so, you know, on issue after issue, people need to dig into the data, and we make that easy for you and try to make it somewhat easy to understand. And give the sources so that everything we say is accurate.
Great. Your website, one more time.
It's cfact.org. That's cfact.org.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for sharing us today. Thanks for your service to our nation in uniform, and especially what you're doing now. God bless you, brother. We need to work together.
Well, thank you, Dennis. Pleasure to be on.
Next up, Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Army-Navy game. I was there in Army One. Hoo-ah! This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go about halfway down each time, do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending. Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. And it is Service Academy football time. I'm joined, of course, by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, Quentin. It's quite a weekend, wasn't it?
Hey, Danny. And you would know it better than me, but I tell you what, another absolute Army-Navy classic.
You know, and it always is a real classic. And as normal, my wife and family were there with some friends. We were in the stadium cheering Army on. I'd like to say there was never any doubt. At least there was never any doubt for the last 15 seconds. or for that matter, there wasn't a lot of doubt during the first three quarters of the game. But this is one of those games you didn't want to leave early for.
And it wasn't exactly warm there either, was it, Danny?
Well, it was warm during the tailgating time. But by the time we got in the stadium, we were glad we brought our parkas. Yes, it was coolish.
Yes, yes, yes. But it was still a beautiful day for football.
Yes, it was.
Really was.
Lovely day.
Well, let's jump into the game as, of course, you've been listening to the description of this Army-Navy Classic where Army prevailed 17-11 over the midshipmen of the United States Naval Academy. And, of course, the Black Knights go on to win their fourth outright Commander-in-Chief's trophy in the last 7 years. And when I say it was a classic, they teed off in Foxborough, Massachusetts, the home of National Football League's New England Patriots outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And I tell you what, it was just a great game. The Army Black Knights moved to 6-6 on the season, where the midshipmen fell to 7-7. For the first time, this game was in Foxborough. And it was a crowd of 65,878 as they watched a flyover from a Boeing CH-47 Chinook, Boeing AH-64 Apache helicopter, and a Sikorsky UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter. Boy, I tell you, the pageantry of these games is absolutely unrivaled, Danny. On the first series of the game, when toe met leather, the Army defense forced a three and out, sniffing out a halfback pass attempted by Navy's Eli Heidenreich and a tackle for loss by defensive lineman Kyle Lewis. Army was able to get on the board first in the second quarter as Tyson Riley caught a beautifully delivered pass from Bryson Daly for 4 yards to go up 7-0.
I think that was the first time in my lifetime that Army had scored on a pass.
Well, then, I think you missed a couple. I think they've done that, but they are far and few between. You are correct about that. They knew he was out there. They didn't cover him until it was too late. Bryson Daly noticed that he was uncovered, just stood up, threw the ball to Tyson Riley, and he waltzed on into the end zone. But it was not a passing effect. It was definitely a ground game for Army and Navy throughout the game. And when we look at the rushing yards, it was Army who outrushed Navy 205-130. Even though Navy was able to pass for more yards, as they passed for 179 over Army's 54. And they had more total yards than Army did, 309-259. But of course, that's all because when you're losing, you're going to throw the ball a little bit more. Navy was behind pretty much the whole game. After Army went up 7-0, they added a field goal to go up 10-0 at the half. Navy would respond in the fourth quarter, finally getting on the board with a field goal, a 37-yard field goal from Nathan Kirkwood on really one of Navy's best drives of the day, a 12-play, 70-yard drive. Army's, though, the big play of the game was a 44-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown by Khalid Fortner. That was really the dagger, but Navy did not go quietly. Even though they were down 17-3 in the fourth, as you said, Denny, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Navy came back and were able to get a touchdown as Jaden Umbarger hauled in a 14-yard pass from Ty Levitai, and they went for two. Now is when we start getting into some strategic decisions by the coaches that may have really put Navy at a tough spot. Going for two, if you go for one in that situation, you're down a touchdown and an extra point. You go for two, it really doesn't get you that much. So that was a questionable call. But Navy did get the ball back, and they had a drive. They were on the 3-yard line as time was winding down, and they were going for the last play. It was fourth down. What do you do? They did the bush or the tush push for 3 yards out, and they only got 2.5 as the Army took the snap, ran out of the back of the end zone, just sacrificed a safety, and they were able to walk away with the victory, 17-11. Sing second, of course, singing the alma maters, but at least bring back from Air Force the Commander-in-Chief.
And let me assure you that we in the stands thoroughly enjoyed every bit of that. And like I said, it was a game you had to stay and watch. If you missed the fourth quarter, you missed an awful lot. The first three quarters were good, but the action, the suspense, the excitement was in that fourth quarter. It sure was. And I have to admit that I really enjoyed saying, "Go Army, beat Navy," and greeting all the people wearing Army outfits as we left the stadium.
Denny, let me ask you, I couldn't tell. Was it actually sold out? I mean, it's 65,000. I think that stadium holds a few more. I mean, I know it's mostly full. But from your vantage point, what did you see?
It was mostly full. But in my case, I had three extra tickets that from people that were going to go and couldn't go, and we tried to sell them and we weren't able to. So that means I could lay down on the bench if I wanted to because there's plenty of room. But wow.
Wow, that's tremendous. Absolutely tremendous, Denny. And congratulations again. And congratulations to Coach Jeff Monk and the Black Knights. I mean, they had a real up-and-down season. And to come back, and when Bryson Daly came back into the game, for the Air Force game, and was healthy, he really made all the difference in the world. They were able to solidify the quarterback position. Even in the Army-Navy game, they started off with one quarterback, and then they changed to Ty Levitai. And so it was Xavier Arline who they started with. And Xavier just wasn't getting it done. And so in the second half, they went to Ty Levitai, who really was the one who sparked Navy. And credit to Navy for really fighting to the very end on this one. I mean, they really did. I questioned the call of a push from 3 yards out. But you go with what you got, and they came up a little short, but they fought to the very end. Army just had a little bit too much for them.
Well, and that's how it is sometimes. As a side note, I'm used to being the oldest graduate. This is not study. This is just who I run into while I'm tailgating. This year, I sat behind, I'm class of 64. I sat behind a 63-er, an older one than me, and the guy behind me was a 65-er. So I've never had that happen before. So another first. Quentin, thank you.
It's been a tremendous season, and I thank you as well. Hats off and salutes to all the service academies for just a tremendous season. It has been an absolute pleasure to follow these teams, to report on these teams. And Denny, you are truly an officer.
Flattery will get you everything, Quentin. God bless you, brother. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, it's Marine B&B time. Marines discussing our border in a book. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for one-arm push-ups. I want you to do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break to stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both.
My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Groups, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Now it's time for Marine B&B. Marine Vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil, to Frontlines of Freedom. We look forward to hearing your thoughts. And of course, Marine Vet Skip Coriel, that's me. We're going to talk about an interesting book. But first, Gil, you're all fired up about the southern border. Tell us what's going on down there.
Yes, sir. Well, good morning, Skip. It's good talking to you, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family and everybody listening out there. First of all, what are we looking at as we close down 2023 and go into the new year? I want to remind our listeners that we're on day 1055 of the Biden-Mayorkas widest open border security breach and the greatest and deadliest taxpayer-funded illegal alien event in the history of our country. But Skip, this didn't just happen to us. It was intentionally done to us by this administration using the same agencies created to protect our nation and secure our borders, DHS, CBP, to facilitate the whole thing. This wasn't a global warming or a migrant pattern. This was a political decision to completely open our borders, invite the entire world to come in, and just left the doors wide open. I'm being told that the borders cannot be open because we still see arrests and drug seizures every day by these agencies. Well, that's like saying the Titanic wasn't sinking because the ship's officers were ladling out buckets of water as it went down.
Bill, it's all so overwhelming. You talk about as a white male, okay, born and raised here in America, it's hard for me. You know, when I see, you know, a Hispanic person in my daily life, I look at them. I can't tell by looking at them if they're here legally or illegally. So I really don't know what to think about it. And that bothers me.
Well, the thing about it is that we got to understand that the fundamental structure of our country has already been irrevocably altered. Instead of shutting down the borders, right, and managing this flood of unvetted illegals into the country, this administration has worked relentlessly to reset and restructure our country to take in and assimilate as many as 300 to 400,000 illegals per month when you count gotaways. That is an illegal crosser that we don't even know who they are or how they got in or where they are right now. You know, right now, most of the border is currently unmanned and unsecured, and we release 4,000 to 8,000 illegals daily since that administration began. You know, tell me how this ends well for us.
Yeah, well, how many CHICOMs are coming off across the border, or Islamic terrorists? How can we vet them if we don't know they're here?
Well, exactly. And the bottom line is the Border Patrol is under such pressure to release, that by the time derogatory information comes back from background checks, they're long gone. And see, Skip, the thing about it is that the majority of these people don't love America, don't care about America. They want our benefits. They want everything that they can get for free. The taxpayers is burdened with the whole thing, right? And like it or not, right now, our financial institutions, our big tech, business, education, medical, even our law enforcement and military, the electoral colleges in each state, the very core of our American culture and society is getting watered down. And right now, Skip, regardless of who gets elected next, we got problems that we're going to be dealing with for decades to come. And this isn't just some future reality, Skip. It is going on right now already.
Yeah. Well, you know, you alluded to the Titanic earlier. It's like all of these people are coming in illegally to our country, and they're exacerbating the problem by costing us more money to support them, because I've heard we're giving them free cell phones, and we're putting them up in room and board and food and all of this stuff. It's almost like they're scrambling to get on board the ship before the ship sinks.
Yeah, that's a very good way of looking at it. And that's the reality of it, right? The benefits that they're getting. I even joked with a friend of mine the other day. I said, you know, if you're struggling financially, man, get over to Mexico, jump the fence and claim asylum. Because in some cases, the NGO cartels, I call them, and these are the ones that take over after the Border Patrol has to release these people. We're talking $2,200 to $5,000 gift cards, financial cards, Visa cards, benefits, all those things thrown in, right, when they get released. The average American right now, Social Security-wise, makes $800 a month. That's the average in Social Security. Could you imagine? And now these NGOs, when they pay for these things, where's that money coming from? Well, the federal government is reimbursing that money to these NGO cartels.
Oh, well, it's a mess. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're doing Marine B&B with Gil and with myself. Well, I think we need to transition into something a little more positive, Gil. I mean, that's a great report, but we have to lighten the spirits around Christmas time of all of our listeners. So let's launch right into our book of the month here. Are you ready, Gil?
Please give me some good news.
All right. Okay. I'm going to read off the title of this book and you tell me what comes to mind. How does it make you feel? The title of the book is All I Want for Christmas is an Alibi. How does that make you feel, Gil?
That sounds like my entire Marine Corps career.
You needed an alibi, huh?
Yes.
Captain, it couldn't have been me. You know, I was working on this Jeep.
Especially on Monday mornings.
Well, this was a really delightful, it's like a detective murder mystery comedy romance. It had like a little bit of everything in it. I'm going to go ahead and read the back cover copy to you, and you'll get a really good idea of what this book was all about. Okay. It says, it was a dark and stormy night, a very dark and very stormy night. It sort of felt like the Red Baron on a mission, all alone battling the incoming onslaught. Although I'm not up against a barrage of bullets, not gunpowder and lead, just snow beating down relentlessly. You know, you're in California, Gil, so you don't even know what snow looks like, do you?
No. You know, if it dips under 70, you know, over around here, we start to turn on the heaters and put on our parkas, you know, so it's
my heart is just bleeding for you. It's bleeding for you, Gil.
That's a struggle.
Well, some people describe Lacey Wheeler as the poster child for a woman not in her right mind. So when her boyfriend of 7 years turns up dead in his office with a pair of 8-inch shears jutting out of his chest, Crazy Lacey is the only suspect. Lacey quickly flees to northern Michigan through a snowstorm while she contemplates how to prove her innocence. Once there, a whirlwind of unforeseen events seizes control of her life, leaving her feeling confused and helpless. But then she meets Luke, an incredibly handsome hunk of a state trooper who believes in her innocence. Actually, you know, if I were writing this book, Gil, obviously it would have been a Marine Corps sergeant. Handsome hunk of a guy, because all of us Marines, we're incredibly good looking, aren't we?
Every single last one of them.
And that's why we're on the radio, right?
Exactly. I said we have the perfect face for radio.
Yeah, we do. Will Lacey be charged with murder? Will Luke and Lacey fall in love? And what the real killer? Read this action-packed thriller where anything can and does happen. You'll never guess the ending. And of course, I can't tell you the ending because that would be a spoiler. And we don't do that here on Frontlines of Freedom. I love the book. It's totally different than what I normally read. I'll read like war novels or end of the world type stuff. But, you know, around Christmas, I just wanted to switch it up a little bit, let you know I'm not always about war and, you know, battle and killing and all of that stuff. I have a warm, sensitive side. You know, all of us Marines do. We're warm, we're sensitive, we're kind, we're generous, and we're very, very romantic, aren't we?
Well, you know, I'll put out a shameless plug. When I want to change up the script on myself and I want to feel a little better about life, I read your book, you know, Sunrise Reflections. It is an excellent book, and it actually does lift up my spirits and gets me ready for the, you know, to face the mess of the next day. So, yeah, you do have a warm, fuzzy, soft side to you.
Well, you know, but I try not to advertise that too much, you know, because I got a reputation to keep up, right?
Well, yeah, you know, and so that's why we gotta run back to your books, you know, on concealed carry and civilian combat.
That's right.
That way, we get back to reality.
My gun books are my alibi.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Well, hey, thank you, Gil, for taking the time to join us today and for your service to our nation. We look forward to another Southern Border Report next month. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom, Stand Tall Troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want you devil dog ready, then stand at ease.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com, we are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me, to Danny at frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel Sharon, a Coast Guard vet, asked why we aren't declaring war on Iran, since Iran is supporting all the terrorist attacks.
Good question, Sharon. Since both China and Russia support Iran, maybe an attack on Iran would begin a world war. I don't know, but we probably should attack Iran.
And Marine vet Peter really appreciated hearing the Muslim Zuti. He has a much better understanding of things now.
Peter, Dr. Zuti Jasser is a great American and a very sharp guy. I agree with you. He's good. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 22 December 1775, the Continental Congress created a Continental Navy, naming Essex Hopkins Esquire as Commander-in-Chief of the fleet.
So happy birthday, Navy, huh?
Yeah, happy birthday.
And on the 19th of December 1776, Thomas Paine published these famous words: "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, within this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation within us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." When these phrases appeared in the pages of the Pennsylvania Journal for the first time, General George Washington's troops were encamped at McConkie's Ferry on the Delaware River opposite Trenton, New Jersey. In August, they had suffered a humiliating defeat and lost New York City to the British troops. Between September and December, 11,000 American volunteers gave up the fight and returned to their families. General Washington could foresee the destiny of a rebellion without an army if the rest of his men returned home when their service contracts expired on December 31st. He knew that without an upswing in morale and a significant victory, the American Revolution would come to a swift and humiliating end. Thomas Paine was similarly astute. His common sense was the clarion call that began the revolution. As Washington's troops retreated from New York through New Jersey, Paine again rose the challenge of literary warfare. With the American crisis, he delivered the words that would salvage the revolution.
And on 21 December 1861, Congress authorized the Medal of Honor to be awarded to Navy personnel that had distinguished themselves by their gallantry in action. The Navy and Marine Corps Medal of Honor is our country's oldest continuously awarded decoration, even though its appearance and award criteria has changed since it was created for enlisted men by Secretary of the Navy Gideon Welles on 16 November 1861. Legislation in 1915 made naval officers eligible for the award. Although originally awarded for both combat and non-combat heroism, the Medal of Honor today is presented for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life, above and beyond the call of duty. The design of our highest military decoration is rooted in the war between the states. Crafted by the artist Christian Schuller, the central motif is an allegory in which Columbia, in the form of the goddess Minerva, uses the shield of the Republic to put down the figure of discord, plainly a reference to the unfolding split in our nation. The design is encircled by 38 stars, representing the states of the Union at the time of the outbreak of the Civil War.
Uh-huh. And on 22 December 1862, during the Civil War, Union General William T. Sherman presented the city of Savannah, Georgia, to President Lincoln. Sherman captured Georgia's largest city after his famous March to the Sea from Atlanta. Savannah had been one of the last major ports that remained open to the Confederates. For nearly 6 weeks, nothing was heard from Sherman's army. Finally, just before Christmas, word arrived that Sherman's army had arrived outside Savannah. A Union officer reached the coast and found a Union warship that carried him to Washington to personally deliver the news of the success. Sherman wired Lincoln with the message, "I beg to present you, as a Christmas gift, the city of Savannah with 150 heavy guns, plenty of ammunition, and also about 25,000 bales of cotton." End quote.
That's quite a Christmas present.
It is. I wonder if he has to pay taxes on.
Probably not. And on 21 December 1988, Pan Am Flight 103 from London to New York exploded in midair over Lockerbie, Scotland, an hour after departure. A bomb that had been hidden inside an audio cassette player detonated inside the cargo area when the plane was at an altitude of 31,000 feet. All 259 passengers, including 38 Syracuse University students returning home for the holidays, were killed in the explosion. In addition, 11 residents of Lockerbie were killed in the shower of airplane parts that unexpectedly fell from the sky. Authorities accused Islamic terrorists of having placed the bomb on the plane while it was at the low-security airport in Frankfurt, Germany. In the early 1990s, investigators identified two Libyan intelligence agents as suspects, but Libya refused to turn them over to be tried in the U.S. But in 1999, in an effort to ease U.N. sanctions against Libya, Muammar Gaddafi agreed to turn the suspects over to Scotland for trial in the Netherlands using Scottish law and prosecutors. Families of the victims were dissatisfied with this deal, complaining that it did not allow prosecutors to pursue the leads that suggested the bombing was planned and authorized by the highest levels of the Libyan government. The U.S. did insist, though, that Libya pay compensation to the victims' families before sanctions against Libya were lifted.
And Libya did pay. On the 20th of December, 1989, the U.S. invaded Panama in an attempt to overthrow military dictator Manuel Noriega, who had been indicted in the U.S. on drug trafficking charges and was accused of suppressing democracy in Panama and endangering U.S. nationals. Noriega's Panamanian defense forces were promptly crushed, forcing the dictator to seek asylum with the Vatican Annuncio in Panama City, where he surrendered on the 3rd of January, 1990.
And on 21 December 2003, Time magazine named the American soldier who bears the duty of living with and dying for country's most fateful decisions as Person of the Year.
And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Narim Ravav and her family were in their home in Israel kibbutz when she suddenly heard alarms going off and shouting in Arabic. She gathered up her children while her husband, Michael, locked her into the safe room and then got his rifle and guarded the house. A group of terrorists stormed the house with small arms fire and grenades. Michael held them off as long as he could, then he fled to the safe room. The terrorists tried to open the door with gunfire and hand grenades, but were unsuccessful. The Ravav family survived and were rescued 7 hours later by Israeli soldiers.
Thanks, Colonel. Well, now you might be asking yourself, hey, Skip, This was halfway across the planet. Why are we talking about it here in the United States? Well, that's a valid question, and here's my answer. In normal times, you'd be right to question me, but these are not normal times. In times past, America was guarded by two oceans and a secure northern and southern border, but that's no longer the case. The policies of President Biden have left our borders wide open, and you and your family have never been in this much danger from a terrorist attack. People sometimes ask me, why do you think you need an AR-15 for home defense? And my answer is simple. I don't need an AR-15 for home defense. I need an M4 along with body armor, night vision, and a whole lot of training. The only reason I don't have the M4 is because my government has made them illegal for me to possess. For many years now, Frontlines of Freedom has been sounding the clarion call for all Americans to get out there, get armed, and get trained so you can protect the ones you love. And I'm here to tell you that your time to arm and train is almost up. In our last segment, retired Border Patrol Officer Gil Mazza warned of the dangerous people coming into our country on a daily basis. It's no longer a matter of if there will be a terrorist attack in the continental U.S. It's simply a matter of when and where. It is going to happen, folks. It's as likely as the next sunrise. So you and your family need to arm up and train up. The Ravav family did a great job holding off an historic terrorist attack on their home, but it wasn't the result of blind luck or last-minute preparation. The family worked hard over many years to be ready for this. They went out of their way to procure the firearms, the body armor, the safe room, and all the other provisions they need in a worst-case scenario terrorist attack. The attack that most Americans think can never happen is going to happen. Let's look at it this way. Hope and pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. If I train and arm up for an attack and that attack never comes, then I'll be happy to thank God and not be disappointed. But if I don't train and arm up and that attack does happen, then my wife and kids are raped and tortured and dead. I'm telling you, folks, the Mongol hordes are knocking at the gates and our president has opened it up and let them in. The Ravavi family did a great job, an amazing job, protecting themselves from bloodthirsty killers, and Frontlines of Freedom salutes their bravery, but more importantly, we commend their foresight and hard work at preparing for the unthinkable.
That's a little bit like buying fire insurance for your house, isn't it? You don't think it's ever going to happen.
We all do it.
But you want to be ready. Our movie of the month is Let's Eat. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link. You can watch it for free. I'd like you to. I'd appreciate getting your comments about this movie. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, P.J. Lebowski will discuss church safety teams with the rise in anti-Semitism. Bill and Mike Null, two brothers who were tried and acquitted in the plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, will share their story. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. It's a great Christmas gift if you haven't got all your gifts yet. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafreedom.com. That's cvafreedom.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.